This episode of the Memory Palace is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates national average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who save with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Support for the Memory Palace comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is an all-in-one management software with apps for every business need. Odoo has apps for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between. And they're all in one easy-to-use software. And the best part about Odoo? All Odoo apps are integrated, helping you get things done faster and more efficiently. So when you think about business, think Odoo. To learn more, visit odoo.com/memory. That's odoo.com/memory.
This special bonus episode of the Memory Palace was commissioned by the KeyBank Rochester Fringe Festival in Rochester, New York. It is one of two site-specific pieces I did for them. This one is meant to be listened to while standing on the Pont de Rennes Bridge over the Genesee River. It really is quite a spot. If you can't get there, you will likely enjoy listening to it wherever you are. This is the Memory Palace. I'm Nate DeMayo. There once was a man from Pawtucket. His name was Sam Patch. And when he was a little kid, he did what most little kids in Pawtucket, Rhode Island did in the early 1800s. He went to work. 6 days a week in the textile mills. 12 hours a day in the winter, 14 or 16 in the haze and swelter of the summer. And when Sam Patch was 7 or 8, maybe 9, he did what some of the men in the mill did. On his break, little Sam would follow them up to the top of the high bluffs by the waterfall that powered the mill. And he'd jump. He'd leap out over the rocks that could break your legs and plummet down to that one spot in the Blackstone River that was deep enough that you wouldn't break your neck. And for those few seconds, falling through the air and cutting through the cold churn of the water, he'd be free of the mill. And then he'd swim to shore and dry off and go back to work to finish out the day in the lifetime of days just like it that lay ahead of him inside. And soon Sam's favorite escape became the favorite escape of most of the other workers there at the cotton mill. They wouldn't actually jump themselves. They'd just sit in the grass on the riverbank, eat their lunch, and watch him do it. And Sam Patch found his calling in falling. In 1827, he had been working in the mills for 15 years. He was 20. He was living in Paterson, New Jersey, which is the Pawtucket, Rhode Island of New Jersey, and he was ready to take his lunchtime leaping to the next level. So he climbed up to the top of Passaic Falls, 70 feet up. He'd been talking it up for days. Maybe weeks. So come lunchtime, there were hundreds of people there looking up from the base of the falls, finding that kid from the factory floor. Still a kid, really. Out on the rocks. In the mist. Knees bent. Arms out for balance. And then gone. A flash against the falls. And then a face coming out of the rushing river. All smiles. The next day, the papers called him the New Jersey Jumper. And then Sam Patch left the mills behind for good. For 2 years, he toured the Northeast. He jumped off flagpoles, off factory roofs, off the masts of ships. If you could drum up a crowd and some cash, and you had access to something really tall, Sam Patch would totally jump off of it. In the fall of 1829, he climbed out onto a platform 125 feet above the Niagara River, amidst the swirling spray of the famous falls, and stepped off. He swam to shore, waved up to the 10,000 spectators roaring their appreciation up top, and collected his money from the hundreds of people who'd paid to sit in bleachers and get close to the action. Men admired him. Women adored him. Parents worried their children would want to be him. Sam Patch had become one of the most famous men in America by jumping off really high stuff. It was a simpler time, and a ridiculous route to fame. But up here, looking down from our vaunted perch in America a couple of hundred years later, an America who elected a president best known for firing people on television, who has shone her light on its citizens merely for repeatedly praising their friend's sneakers, or melting down in a bagel shop, or acting strangely on the ride home from the dentist, or being a grumpy-looking cat, an America who may well be fretting over her Instagram account right now, worried that North Carolina makes her look fat, it is hard to judge. Anyhow, America demanded more. They wanted more spectacular leaps, more danger, They wanted more from the man who had come from nothing. The man who had toiled in the same mills as they had and found a way out. Who was once mired in the drudgery of an all too familiar existence and literally risen above it. Having conquered the Great Niagara, there was really only one more place to go. At least that an itinerant daredevil living off hat pass donations in the early 19th century could reasonably get to. So he found his way here, to High Falls. The name alone would have lured him. But look at it. Listen to it. Hold on a second. Let me pause the music. There. Listen to it. If you live in or around Rochester, you will have heard of Sam Patch. He is still a celebrity of a sort here. Maybe only here. You might have heard of him in school or story time at the library. Maybe you went to the old laser show. They used to have one, I'm told. Like a Led Zeppelin planetarium show, but projected onto the cliffs. And so maybe you saw Sam, that famous jumper. However poorly rendered, though I'm sure it was something special at the time, it was lasers. Maybe you saw Sam jump off High Falls. Try to see a man. A real man. Real man-sized. In a white linen suit. That's what he would wear. And find a place for him to stand. An outcropping. A ledge. It can be anywhere up near the top of the falls. About 100 feet up. No one actually knows which one it was. Maybe the real spot is gone now anyway. Broken off and tumbled in. Or is covered over today by higher water. Simply something upstream has changed the way the Genesee flows. See this man of yours there on this rock of yours. Try to picture him amidst the swirling spray. Testing the wind. Testing his balance. Finding a spot that isn't slick with moss or the rushing river. And try and trade places with him for a moment if you can. There at the top of the falls. On November 6, 1829. It's cold here in November. The water. The mist that might freeze in your hair or on your beard. There at the top of the falls with some 7,000 people, maybe 8, we're told, on the banks down below, hanging out of the windows of the mills, which was as daring as most of Sam's old cohort would get. Or in a traffic jam of carts and horses, mad that they left too late to beat the crowd. And try and see a bear, too, a cub. Sam Patch found one somewhere on the road from Buffalo, put a rope around its neck, managed to get it out there on the ledge. Up there's 90-something feet above the river and the rocks, and then pushed it off. And see it, if you can, falling among the mist. A bear that should not be falling among the mist. A bear that should not be crashing through the surface of the river. So cold. Plunging down to where it's colder still. Tossed around in the tumult and the current, but alive and struggling for air. Struggling to get to shore, confused and terrified. All instinct, all fight. May its claws have taken a piece out of the people who sent Sam to pull it out. And now see Sam himself, standing, and then falling. A flash against the spray. And then a shadow in the water, rising up to the surface, and climbing up the banks of the river to rapturous applause. To coins collected by the hatful from his fans along the river. Thrilled to see their hero. Thrilled to raise him up some more. But one can only rise so high. Flyers went up all over Rochester the next day. At 2 o'clock, that Friday the 13th, Sam Patch was going to take his final jump. He was retiring. He had taken his odd discipline as far as he could. As far as anyone ever could. That afternoon in November 1829, Sam Patch clambered up to the top of a platform, 125 feet above the river, many feet higher than his jump of the week before. It had to be. It had to be more spectacular. Who would come out if it weren't? But when he got to his feet and looked out at the crowd, there were at least 8,000, maybe 9,000 people, who had left their machines at the mills and factories to cheer on one of their own one last time. He shouted something down to them, some declaration of purpose, some thoughts about self-determination, some height-related metaphors. America, America, something, something, who can say? No one could hear him up there above the roar of the falls. But when he was done, he looked down at the Genesee, at his fans on its banks, and he leapt and disappeared into the water below. And when he didn't come up, when he didn't appear with a triumphant wave and a bow for the crowd and a wink for the ladies, people refused to believe that it wasn't part of the show. They thought it was a brilliant scheme. Figured he'd show up next year back from the dead for another leap. Even months later, when a farmer some miles from the city found Sam's body in a frozen stream running through his pasture, trapped beneath the ice, people refused to believe their hero was gone. This 19th century evil Knievel turned 19th century Elvis. People would say they were just sure they saw him walking through Cleveland, without a care in the world. Or they saw him leaping alone by moonlight into the Mississippi, or the Waxahachie. Or that they saw him one day, while they were sitting at their looms. Thought they saw him walking out the front door of their mill, and never looking back. This episode of The Memory Palace was written by me, Nate DeMeo, and produced with Elizabeth Aubert for the Key Bank Rochester Fringe Festival, with funding by the New York State Council on the Arts. The Memory Palace is a proud member of Radiotopia, a collective of independent podcasts from PRX. Learn more about The Memory Palace and subscribe to the podcast, which is basically just like this with fewer waterfalls, at thememorypalace.us. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia from PRX.